Redeeming Faith, Lesson 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. If you haven't hugged a praise team member lately, do so. Tell them thank you and God bless you. Today in our pursuit of understanding and the work and practice of faith, we're going to look to the lessons. I didn't say story, the lessons contained in Matthew chapter 8. We will start with an example today, and hopefully the Lord willing, next week we will continue in chapter 8 with more examples of faith applied and disaster denied. When faith is applied, disaster is denied. The psalmist said, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." In the word of your new covenant is healing. In the word of your new covenant is deliverance from every destruction that Satan would perpetrate on your mind, your spirit, your body, your finances, your children, your family members, your future. Receive the word and let it deliver you in every realm of your life. To begin this, we will first go to the writings to the Hebrews. "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe." Must believe. A prerequisite. You must believe that he is God. And that as God he is a rewarder. Pastor, why is it worded that way? Because there are a lot of people that don't seem as a rewarder. They seem as a judge meting out punishment for misbehaving. Ain't misbehaving. No. That's another realm. Some people seem as someone far off who can't be touched with where they are because he's so far off in heaven and they're down here and God just can't see where we're at. No, you got to understand, he is God. Therefore, he is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is all in all at all times. And he is a rewarder. It is so important that God wants you to understand that he is a rewarder, that he put in his word that to be pleasing to him, you've got to see him that way. Now I ask you for a second, do you see God as a rewarder? As the giver of good gifts? Do you see him as the one who wants to abundantly bless you, to crown you with joy and with pleasure and with fullness? Do you see him as the one who wants to share with you his opulence? You see, God told us that we could ensure his opulence on earth. Well, Pastor, I don't remember that passage that God said to me, I could ensure his opulence on earth. Well, my wife likes to watch decorating shows. And some of these decorating shows, I am amazed sometimes. I'll come downstairs, I'll walk into the kitchen, get me something to drink, and I'll look up and it's marriage under construction. Newlyweds going through the building process of remodeling a dump. And I'm going, somebody was drunk when they thought that up. They were slap dab drunk. Marriage under construction. Fanatic about attic. Attic renovations. I don't get it. But people see something done and they want to do it in their house. Pastor, how did we get away from opulence? We're getting there. So you go someplace and you see a room decorated a certain way and you go, I want that at my house, but without the price tags. Because once you see it, then you can visualize bringing it home. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, God said, "Pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth the same way it is in heaven. How is his will done in heaven? Streets of gold, golden throne, golden sandals, golden girdle. Some people get bent out of shape because I wear a little gold now and then. Mostly now and then, but if a little gold upsets you down here, you're going to get bent out of shape when you see God's son come out and he's got a golden girdle on, wearing golden sandals on golden streets and sitting on a golden throne, and you're going, it's okay to have gold? God said, pray this, because when Raymond is praying the word, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is, he's saying, God, I want that kind of opulence in my house. And God said, I give you a word picture of it so you can see it. Now here's streets of gold, gates of pearl, foundation stones of sardis, onyx, carbuncle. See this on earth because this is my will here. There's a tree in the midst of the garden whose leaves are for the healing of the nation. All of you ought to have a healing tree in your front yard so the neighbors could come by and just grab a leaf. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Natalie Young's literal translation. And apart from faith, I like that. And apart from faith, unhooked from the faith express, it's impossible to please well. For it behooveth him who is coming to God to believe that he is, and to those seeking him, he becometh a rewarder. And to those seeking him, he becometh a rewarder. Well, Pastor, I don't have nothing. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking your will from God? There's a world of difference between seeking God and seeking what you want from God. But if you seek him as God, then what you want from God comes to you as a reward for seeking him. Without, apart from, devoid of, meaning not incorporating faith with your actions, this is unbelief. The sin God hates most is not the popular ones in the church today, adultery, fornication, drugs, alcohol. The sin God hates the worst is unbelief. Because he is all-sufficient, all-powerful, always ready at all times to do all things on your behalf. And if you don't see that, you're missing the best side of God. He is God. And when you seek him, he pays well. Faith releases God into an equation. There's an equation in your life that needs an answer. And faith releases him into that equation to change it from impossible to possible. Faith does for you what you alone cannot. Faith applied through trust in the Father's word, nature, or grace brings the reward of performance. When I believe God is what? Is God, is a healer, is a rewarder, is a savior, is a deliverer, is an ever-present help. Whatever it is that you need him to be, when you believe he is that, I am your all in all. Tell them, I am. Am what? Am your deliverer, am your healer, am your provider, am your ever-present help, am your constant abiding peace. When it says God is, that says God is God. In, through, with, for, under, behind, beside, on top of every situation of life, God is God. Amen. Say this with me. God is God. Now, is there anything he's not God of? Well, Pastor, he's not God of the devil. Yes, he is. The demons believe and tremble. When God shows up, they go to their knees. He's God of the devil. He's God of sickness. He's God of lack. He's God of everything. So when I believe that he is God, what I'm saying is I believe that if God is here, this ain't a problem. But Pastor, the doctor said, if God is here, it ain't a problem. But Pastor, the lawyer said, if God is here, it ain't a problem. But Pastor, the banker said, if God is here, it ain't a problem. God is whatever it is you need. And you don't stop. God didn't stop there and say, Sister Willie, believe that I'm God and I got it. But he said, believe that I want you to have it. If you'll approach me as God, then you can have it. Pastor, how do I approach God as God? Welcome to Matthew chapter 8. But let's take a peek at a couple other passages first. Whatever you do in word or deed, whether you're saying it or doing it, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What is the name of the Lord Jesus? Yeshua, or Yeshua means Redeemer. Yeshua HaMashiach was his name, not Jesus Christ. His name never was Jesus. It never will be Jesus. His first name is not Jesus, and his last name Christ. His name was Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua meaning Redeemer, HaMashiach meaning anointed of God. When you say Jesus Christ, it don't mean nothing. It's become a curse word of profanity. Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything. Some translators translating the Bible contrary to Revelations made up a name. The angel said, you shall call his name Yeshua, Redeemer, for he shall redeem his people from their sins. Now you shall call his name Jesus, for he's going to Jesus his people. His name was Yeshua HaMashiach, Redeemer, anointed of God. So when you do anything in his name, you have to do it in the name of redeeming. I'm going to redeem this person out of sickness and into the kingdom of light where there is health and life and wholeness. I'm going to redeem this person out of sin and into the kingdom of God where there is life and hope and they are free from death and its penalty. Whatever you do, do for the sake of redeeming. I'm going to redeem this new Cadillac out of the devil's hands. Hey, come on now. And into the kingdom of God, and I'm going to put a House Lord bumper sticker on it so everybody knows that God's kids are rolling fat. Well, Pastor, I don't like Cadillac. Then get you a Lincoln. Get you a whatever. But buy American. Whatever you do, and you're talking, and you're doing, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When I redeem something, God gets glory out of that happening. Judas, when you pray with somebody and healing comes on them, God gets glory because you redeem them from the claws of sickness and disease. And also 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever then, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, to bring glory to God's manifest presence in doing the thing that you do. Drink with gusto, eat with gusto, do with gusto, and let God be glorified in it, sharing with people the witness. This morning, as I do... most mornings, some mornings I've got an early appointment or something's going on, somebody's called for prayer or counseling or something, and I get delayed. But nearly every morning, the first thing I do is tell Daddy thank you. And I start to just entertain his presence. Why? I find if I start out the day with God, it gets better. And I found that God speaks things to me in the morning, and so I just sit down and text out what God is saying to me. And this morning's text was this. A miracle is simply the supernatural realm making an appearance in the natural fallen realm to show us what life can be like without unbelief. One more time, there's a few of you that got it this morning and you already have read it, but a miracle is simply the supernatural realm making an appearance in the natural fallen realm to show us what life can be like without unbelief. Oh, church. You could go right home right now and you have heard truth. But I ain't going to let you go. The name of Yeshua, Redeemer, HaMashiach, Anointed of God, redeeming out of darkness into light is the work of the kingdom. It all belonged to God in the beginning. It still belongs to God. There's just a tenant without authority in the earth. He's trespassing on God's property. And one day, God's kids are going to rise up in strength and evict him from the kingdom. Amen. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. For those of you who have a desire to be used of God, the master teacher had released great truth in the teaching he delivered. Wisdom commands respect and develops a following. Quit looking for the spectacular and start flowing with the wisdom of God and you will develop a following.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because people are looking for somebody that knows what's going on. Even Marvin Gaye knows that. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him. He did what?
Came and bowed before him.
He came to him, but believing he was Lord, he... What's the prerequisites? Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Here is faith in action. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord, you shall be brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. The man is meeting the prerequisites of the Word of God. He is coming to him, believing that he is Lord and that he is a rewarder, because the reward he wants is colored healing. So let's read this again, and I want you to look at it in that light. And a leper came to him and bowed down. What is he doing? He is acknowledging lordship. Bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. A leper, an unclean one, one whose flesh is begun to rot away. The unclean man bows before the master and addresses him with the key expression, Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 11, Gospel according to Jim. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I will not act outside full belief in it. No, Pastor Jim, the King James says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So he hid God's word so he wouldn't smoke and toke and joke and run with the girls who do. No. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, so I won't create or perform that cardinal sin, unbelief. So, thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I will not act outside of full belief in your word. Joshua 1:8, meditate the word day and night, so that you, not God, so that you make your way prosperous, and you have good success. By not departing from the word in your actions, deeds, and works. Let the word be a part of all that you say and do. Faith comes alive in you by continually hearing the words God has given. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. How are you hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God? By obeying Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You meditate the word. The word meditate there means to mutter. So daily you're saying, with the stripes I was healed. With the stripes I was healed. With his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. Since I is healed, sickness, you got to get off my body, because sickness don't belong in a healed body, and I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. That's how you build faith. You keep saying it. Bills, you got to go. Lack, you got to go. Need, you got to go. Himself became poor that I might become rich. At the cross, he paid the price for my poverty. In the resurrection, he paid the price for my prosperity. With his stripes, I'm made whole, mind, spirit, body, and pocketbook.
Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.
But you got to mutter it every day.
Amen.
When I found ourselves severely lacking, we had reached the point of need that I had sold all of our cars. At one time, I had 7 Cadillacs, and my wife had a car. We lived in a house that from the guest room to the master bedroom was 75 feet walking. That's like longer than this building. I had a Honda Scrambler motorcycle, and it was fast. I had a Camaro 68 with a 396 punch to 401. And I used to love to pull up to a stoplight next to somebody who believed they had a fast vehicle. I would pull the wheels off the ground coming away from the light and watch their face drop. I found something. You can generally cause a person not to even start off. When the light changes and the front end of your car comes off the ground, they're just looking. They forget to accelerate, and you win the race. I had a 56 Chevy with a 327 Corvette and a 4-speed in it. My son loved to fill the pickup bed with his friends and say, "Tromp on it, Daddy." Let's say I was not lacking in natural things. I had a collection of jewelry that would make the stuff I've got now look cheap. I had a collection of guns that went all the way back to Paul Revere. And hard times came. We went through our valley of the shadow. In fact, sometimes a shadow would jump out and touch us. And when we were losing all the cars, there was an associate, the church, Bob Kelly, that had lusted after my 1968 Eldorado. I'd had it painted fire engine red, Emron aircraft paint, because I didn't want anybody to be able to scratch it. And after I'd sold everything, I said to Bob, "Come over today." And he came to the house and I handed him the title. I said, "The devil's stolen all these from me. He's not getting this one. I'm planting it." And I gave it to him as a seed. We ended up selling our house to pay our bills and the church's. We found ourselves living in a borrowed house. We had fallen from grace. When you cry out to God and say, "God, we've given it all for the ministry," and God says, "Who asked you to?" You start waking up. And God said, from this day forward, pray this way. "Father God, I thank you that you do exceeding abundant above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend." And we didn't sometimes have gas to get to church, and we would drive by faith. Driving by faith in Jesus the Lord. There were times that we believed God to have food in our house, and people would knock at the door and bring us food. Because God showed himself faithful while we had slipped into unbelief. Why are we going through this, God? Because you don't see me as God of this situation and a rewarder. You see me as a possible option to the problem you're in. God is not a possible option. The leper didn't come and go, "You know, there are 4 or 5 options on the table for me to get over this, and one of them is you." No. I'm throwing my all at your feet and acknowledging your Lord over this mess. You can fix it if you want to. And God said, "I want to."
Amen.
Faith comes alive in you by continually hearing the words God has given. You mutter them. You chew on them all the time. My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. The living standard of heaven is opulence, not bills paid, more than enough. Amen. That word is the word of faith which we are proclaiming to you, Paul says. The word of truth teaches that if you confess, profess, decree, declare with your mouth, Yeshua is Lord, or if you openly admit by your own mouth that Yeshua, anointed of God, is Lord, the J.B. Phillips translation, and in your heart believe, the Amplified says, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised, resurrected Yeshua from the dead, or from among the dead, the Phillips translation says. No, that's Moffat. You will be saved, brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. No matter what the problem coming against my life, the answer is, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth, and expect kingdom supply. For it is believing in the heart that makes a man righteous, or brings him into right standing with or before God, boldly positioned before, and that's a typo, his throne. And it is stating his belief by his own mouth that confirms his salvation. Stating your own belief by your mouth confirms your health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance in any situation life brings to you. There's a joy in knowing, Kenneth, that if he is for me, nothing can be against me. Roy, there's a power in saying out of my mouth, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I have the Spirit of life living in me. I can do all things. Well, Pastor, what if you you're O and O? Then you swing again, because it's God's bat, it's God's ball, it's God's ball stadium, and he said you stay at bat until you get a home run.
Amen.
So the only thing that's up to me is to keep swinging. Brenda, when I learn to believe God, I don't give up when it doesn't happen the first minute, the first hour, the first day, the first week, the first month. If I have to celebrate for 7 months and 11 days with his stripes, I was healed, then I will celebrate for 7 months and 11 days because I'm walking out of that hospital healed, whole, well, set free. Well, Pastor, I tried that. Oh, you're a dummy and you don't deserve to have God's goodness in your life. You don't try God. It doesn't say, if you want to have something, try God. It says, you approach him as God and believe that he wants to pay off. No one who believes in, key phrase, in. No one who believes in, not on, not of, believes in him shall have cause for shame. The 20th century New Testament says, or be disappointed, Moffat puts it. So the 20th century, no one who believes in him shall have cause for shame. And Moffat, or be disappointed. Treasure God's words in your heart. Meditate who he is to you. Not who he is in the Bible. Who is he to you? Speak boldly and decisively from the fountain of truth that you stored in your heart. God, you said, with the stripes I was healed. That's your word to me. You said himself bore my infirmities in his flesh, and with his stripes I made whole. You said he bore my grief and my sorrow. You said the chastisement of my peace was upon him. You said he became poor that I might become rich. I'm meditating this. I'm muttering it to myself. I'm saying it over, and it's growing in me, and I'm going to erupt all over the devil. Sometimes, believers, you need to store up enough truth in you, you can just throw up all over the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Treasure his words in your heart. Meditate who he is to you. Speak boldly and decisively from that fountain of truth to participate in health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. John 15:7, If you abide in me, if you take up residence so as to live in me, and you cause my words to take up residence so as to live in you, you can ask whatever you will. Because if my word is living in you, you won't ask contrary to my word. You will ask in agreement with my word. Some Christians are praying today, and their prayer is a sin. I said some Christians are praying today, and their prayer is a sin. God, heal me. That's a demonically inspired prayer. God has healed everyone who he's ever going to heal at the cross. And he didn't say, with his stripes you can get healed. He said, with his stripes you were healed. And until you can admit that he's God, his word is final authority. You said, with his stripes I were healed. If I were healed, I am healed. Therefore, this sickness has got to go. Quit praying and asking God to violate his word. God, bless me. God can't bless you. You're not smart enough to be blessed. If you were smarter, you would quit praying a demonically inspired prayer, and you would say, Father, I thank you. It is written, you have blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I lay hold of my blessing now. I'm not going to pray for you to do what your word says you've already done. The devil will inspire you to pray faithless prayer. Pastor, what's a faithless prayer? God, would you heal me? I hurt so bad. That's a faithless prayer because it doesn't acknowledge that he is Lord and his word is true. It says, I want something my way because I'm not going to take it the way your Bible says. Your Bible says, if I believe your word will be made manifest to me. Your word says, with his stripes I was healed, but I don't believe that. I believe I'm sick and I want you to heal me. You can believe a lie and be damned. And the devil comes by to damn you all the time. Ask God to bless you. Well, Pastor, I heard a voice saying, ask God to bless me. Well, did you check where that voice was coming from? Was there a little heat on that breath when you heard that? Might have been the voice of hell talking to you. God will never lead you to violate his word. If his word said with his stripes you were healed, then boldly decree. I don't care what my body tells me. I don't care what my doctor tells me. I don't care what the pharmacist or anybody else tells me. With his stripes I was healed. I will do whatever is necessary to keep me alive and going until that reality is manifest. But I'm not depending upon the medicine I take, the doctors I talk to, the hospital I visit. My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven, and there is no sickness in heaven. And you have to stir yourself up and encourage yourself. It is said of King David, when he could find no one to encourage him, he encouraged himself. Sometimes, Brother James, you got to encourage yourself. You got to come over and sit down by yourself, put your arm around yourself and say, listen, self, you acting like a fool here. Slinging snot, crying, asking God why. Why don't you quit being a fool, self? Why don't you believe that he is God and his word is eternal? And go to his word and say what he said about your situation. Father, I thank you that I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the basket. I'm blessed in the store. Everything I set my hand to prospers.
Hallelujah.
But Pastor, I've been praying for this for 2 years. Well, pray 2 more, but pray the word, not your will. There's things I've waited for years to experience. 1978, God was talking to me about starting a church, and I was talking to him about me not starting a church because I didn't like preachers. In fact, I still don't like preachers. Some preachers need to be taken out back and have the gospel beat into them. I have anointed hands. I will volunteer for the... I've told God many times, just call me. I'll be an anointed sniper. I'll take them out. He says, love them. And I go, I'll read that verse again later. But in 1978, God began to show me things. He showed me miracles. A man came in the door of the church, came walking down the aisle, green carpet. We don't have green carpet, so we're not there yet. But he came walking down the aisle on crutches, and the pants leg was pinned at the waist because there was no leg there. And when he got down front, he was leaning on the crutches. He took the pin out, and as the pants leg fell out, a leg was in it. And I saw that so real that it's still alive in me. A pastor, 1978, shouldn't you give up on that by now? No, no, no. One day, pastor's going to be doing something. He may be preaching, he may be teaching, he may be laying hands on the sick. But somebody's going to come in the back door. They're going to walk down green carpet. And they're going to be on crutches, and they're going to only have one leg when they come down the aisle. But when they go back out the aisle, they're going to have two.
Amen.
They're going to walk funny because one of them's got a shoe and one of them don't. But that don't matter. But pastor, 1978, there's people in here that's not that old. Don't remind me. I know one thing, Winnie Terrell. The day is coming when I'm going to see that individual walk in with that pants leg. And if I get happy up there and get a praise in my hikimoshai and start to dance, you won't have to wonder what's going on. Oh, this is God's word being performed. Because if you don't quit, you win. There's things I've believed God for and believed for it so long that I didn't even recognize it. I'm living in a house and God said, remember when you asked for this? Oh, yeah. I got the house we asked for. Be driving down the road and God say, remember when you were standing in front of that vehicle and you said, I'd like to have one like that? Well, you're driving it. Oh, well, thank you, Lord. You see, God don't forget your requests if you don't surrender them. But, pastor, sometimes it takes a while. I don't care if it takes 400 years to get your sorry family out of slavery. It's worth it. But then there was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. That was their fault, not God's. It was an 11-day walk. 11-day walk. Why were they out there 40 years? Unbelief. Not approaching him as God. Oh, you're the one that got us out here. We had it pretty good back then. I mean, they beat us once in a while. But we had onions and beans. Boy, you can live a good life with beans and onions. Imagine you're working on those pyramids and building those buildings, and the person next to you's had nothing to eat but beans and onions. Lord have mercy, deliver me. I can take Egypt. I can take slavery. I can take the beatings, but Lord, them beans and onions is getting to me. You see, if you actually read the Bible, there's some stuff in there. You got to put yourself in those scenes. Page 3 already. How did I get there? Dear Lord, somebody's been believing God. There's hope we may finish another set of notes. Miracles can happen. Submit to lordship. Treasure his truth. Speak out his truth as your stronghold. Expect his reward to your faith. Isn't it simple? And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. Receiving Yeshua as Lord of all makes you heir of all he is Lord over. Oh, come on, church. Napoleon, I'm an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. Therefore, all he has, I got a piece of. Friday, I got a piece of his healing power, a piece of his grace, a piece of his miracles, a piece of his signs. David, I got a piece of his abundance. Mary, I've got a piece of his power. I am a miracle walking around waiting for something to happen all over. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. We're almost finished with the first miracle of chapter 8 of Matthew. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched. Now, it was against the law to touch a leper. It was against the law for a leper to touch a clean person. But the Lord preempts the law for a moment and touches him. Do you know what that meant to that leper? He's been walking around for no telling how many years going, unclean, unclean, so that nobody accidentally touches him. He's walking around going, unclean, unclean, unclean. You don't get good service at McDonald's when you walk in going, unclean, unclean. Unless you're a health inspector. Every place he went, he had to stand clean. He couldn't sit down and fellowship, and he couldn't shake hands with nobody. He couldn't hang out with the folks. He didn't have no homies. He was all alone. Do you know what it meant to him in that condition? Years of not being touched, and somebody reaches out. Not just somebody, the Lord. The King of Israel reaches out and touches him. I am willing. Be clean, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And he is ever faithful. When you approach him as Lord and believe he's a rewarder, he approached him as Lord, he believed he was a rewarder, he got his reward. I am willing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever it is Patsy needs from God, he's willing. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Whatever it is Deborah needs from God, he's willing. Whatever it is that Suzanne needs from God, he is willing. But Sandy, he's able. Not only is he able, he's willing. And since he's able and he's willing, can you receive him as God? Can you submit to his lordship and expect him to reward you for your submission? The leper was cleaned when lordship was exalted. What does lordship mean to you today? And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Jesus had a sense of humor. I said, Jesus had a sense of humor. Former leper, go over to the temple. Present yourself to the priests who hates me, who's conspiring to kill me. Go and present yourself and let them see what has happened. You know, about that time Jesus did one of these. Go show yourself to the priest in conformity to the law. Because the law says a leper has to show himself to the priest to be certified clean. Go show yourself to the priest, and when they go, what happened? Well, it's like this. He was passing by, and I reached out and touched the Lord as he goes by. I tell you, I see these things, the word Scott, and it excites me. Jesus said, get your healed self over to the temple. Walk right into the midst of that unbelief and religiosity and say, Mr. Priest, I'm clean, and the law says I have to come and show you that I'm clean. Here are my two turtle doves. Check me out. This side. This side. Want to look over here? Want to look over here? Courtesy of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Now certify me clean, because the law says you have to. Find a little spot if you can. You know that the priest at the... And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one about this until you go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. As a testimony to who? To them. Take this testimony to church and shove it right in their faces. The master was under the law, so he gave place to the law. The priests must have really been rocked when this cleansed leper showed up. What the law was not able to do, lordship was able to do. Hopefully we'll pick up lesson 9 next week at verse 5, and maybe we can find some interesting things about the working of faith in Matthew chapter 8, because there are several. John, I'm excited about God. Amen. Now, if you came today and you need anything from God, I want you right now to mutter to yourself what promise covers that thing. With the stripes I was made whole. Himself became poor that I might become rich. My daddy wants to do exceeding abundant above and beyond all I can ask. Whatever the word has promised you, approach that word right now as your answer. That's coming under lordship. Father, this situation has been in my life, but your word is over this situation, and I acknowledge that lordship by reminding you of what you said about this situation. And then say, Lord, I give it to you and receive from you my reward for bringing it to your lordship. Father, right now, I enter into agreement with every person. The promise of God they're standing on, the promise of God they're laying hold of, the word of truth they're muttering right now, I agree with them and decree it's done in their mind, in their spirit, in their body, in their finances, in whatever realm of their life. The word of truth sets you free, because under lordship there's health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. And I decree it's yours this day. And I loose to you the blessings of the word and the anointing of the spirit of life in the Yeshua HaMashiach of God. And the people said,
Amen.
Now, Father, we want to thank you for the work that you're doing in your people. I praise you that this day, at this moment, your word is activated and is working in their life, bringing unto them that which your word has promised. They will not be denied what your covenant provides. Therefore, be it unto you according to your faith. And the people said,
Amen.
You are the blessed of the Lord. The hand of God is upon you and upon your house for success. No weapon formed against you prospers. Everything you set your hand to prospers. Every day in every way, you are anointed of God for success. And kingdom authority is your way of life. And the people said,
Amen.
You're loved, you're blessed. Love somebody, go with God.